Now we're holding on page 60 in Psachim,
What?
page 60 in
60?
Psachim, page 60, three or four lines from the top. We were in the middle of learning that there are a number of special things in Halal HaMitzri, which is the Halal that we say on Yom Tovim, Hanukkah, and so forth, and by the Seder. Even though Halal HaGadol has the great thing in it that Nosim Lechem L'chol Basar, that Hashem sustains every creature, but Halal HaMitzri has several other important principles of Yiddishkeit in it, and therefore we need to say it. So one of the Halal HaMitzri is the regular Halal that what we think of as regular Halal. It's called Halal HaMitzri because it talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the last thing we said was that Rav Nachum Chizki had said that you have in Halal, you have a hint to where Tzaddikim went into the fiery furnace and how they came out of it safely. So we said the pasuk Lo'ilanu Hashem Lo'ilanu Kivlashim Chater Kavod Al Chastecha Al Mitecha was said by Hanani Mishael Vazaria at the time, and the next pasuk Lama Yomer Goyim, all of them said together that why should the nation say where is Hashem that He can't save them? Which in fact Nebuchadnezzar was claiming at the time that he actually tells them in the pasuk in Daniel, what God do you think is going to be able to save you from my power? So they're all saying Hashem showed that Nebuchadnezzar doesn't know what he's talking about. So now, Baal Yosin, when they came out of the furnace safely, then you have also psukim in Hallel that they said each in turn. When it says Hallelujah Hashem Kol Goyim, all nations praise Hashem. Omer Hananya, then Hananya was the one who said that. Shabchuhu Kol Omim. When it continues, all the peoples should glorify Hashem. Omer Mishael Ki Gaver Alenu Chaste Omer Azaria. And the idea is, as we learned yesterday, Maharsha says, these psukim seem a little bit repetitious. So therefore, we understand that each one is actually a phrase that was said by one of these people at the time. And ve'emes Hashem la'olam halaluka, when it finishes off, the truth of Hashem is forever. Amru kolam, all of that said that jointly. Because now it was demonstrated through there that they were saved. It demonstrates that Hashem is the only true power, which in fact, in the psukim, it goes on to say, Nebuchadnezzar himself was finally forced to acknowledge that. So the point is Halal, or Halal HaMitzri, as the Gemara is calling it over here, has this important point about how tzaddikim are exposed to tremendous danger, and Hashem saves them, and makes a worldwide Kiddush Hashem, and therefore that's an important reason to say Halal. The Emes Hashem La'olam Halaluka Gavriel. Rabbi Yochanan or Yesh Omrim says that actually those words, Ve'emes Hashem La'olam Halaluka, that was actually said by Gavriel at the time. Now we know that Gavriel was involved over there because in the Psukim there in Daniel, it says that Nebuchadnezzar all of a sudden is astonished. He says to his courtiers over there, didn't we throw three people into the furnace? I see four people walking around in there. I have four without chains, without ropes or whatever. There's not a scratch on them, and there's a fourth person with them who looks like a malach. So there was in fact a malach with them, as the Gemara is going to go on to say that Gavriel was with them. So how does Gavriel come to be there? Going back more than 1,000 years, when Nimrod threw Avraham into the fiery furnace, and that's Rashbam refers that to, we have the pasuk in this week's parasha when we have the four kings who fought against Sodom. The first one is Amraphel, and we know Rashi brings over there on the pasuk from a Gemara in Erevin that Amraphel is another name for Nimrod because Omar Poel, he told to Avraham fall into the fiery furnace. So now when he did that, Omer Gavriel, the Fnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shlom, Ered Vatzanin, Vatzalos Tzadik, Vekibshan Esh. Hashem, let me go down and cool off the fire, and I'll save the Tzadik from the fiery furnace. Omer Hakadosh Baruch Hu, but Hashem says, no, I'm not going to delegate it to you. Ani Yochid Ba'ulami, Bahu Yochid Ba'ulami. I am the only one, I am the unique one in my world because I'm the only Metzius. Avraham is the unique one in the world because he's the only one who's going and teaching anybody in the world about Alakus. Keep in mind, you know, of course, you had at the time, you had Tzaddikim, you had Noyach, according to many opinions, was still alive then, Shem and Aver, and so forth. But they were all, they were like, to a certain extent, classic Tzaddik and Peltz, Noyach definitely, and even Shem and Aver. Fine, they had a yeshiva. If you want to come to them, then they'll teach you. But they're not going out, on Mitzoyim and Afotzes Amayonis, only Avram is. So therefore, so he's unique in the world. So it's only appropriate that the unique one should save the unique one. So therefore, Hashem says, I'm not delegating it to any malachim. I'm going to go and deal with it myself. However, now on the other hand, though, Hashem does not withhold the reward for any creature. Even a malach deserves a reward for wanting to do what Hashem wants. Ben Yehoyada actually talks about that. He says, why? I mean, malachim have no bechira chofshes. Why should they get a reward for wanting to do what Hashem wants? Isn't that their nature? He says, that's true. But when a malach has to come down here to earth and be involved with dvorim gashmiim, it's kind of a letdown for him, he being a ruchniistic creature, and therefore, like, to go, he's going beyond what would be normal for him. Therefore, he does deserve a certain schar for it. So now, because Hashem doesn't withhold such schar, Omalei, Hashem tells him, Tizkev Tatzel Shloshim Ibnei Bonav. In the end, you will have the schus to save three of his descendants. So how did that come about? How does Gavriel, so what happened with Hanani, Mishael, Vazalia? Kedidorash of Shimon Hatzidoni or Hashiloni, Bishar Shehippel, Mochanetzah, Rosh, as Hanani, Mishael, Vazalia, will say Kivshan Esh, Omer Yurkimi, Sarabod of the Fnakarish Bochu. Yurkimi, that's his name, is the Malach in charge of hail. He says to Hashem, let me go down and cool off the furnace. And that way I'll save the tzaddikim from the furnace. Omele Gavriel, but Gavriel says, that won't show the greatness of Hashem. After all, you're the malach of hail. Everybody knows water puts out fire. So if you come, what are you going to do? You're going to make it the hail all of a sudden. So it's going to look like a nest that's vested in teva. Ela ani sar shel esh. I'm the malach of fire. I will cool off the fire on the inside so that Hanani, Mishael, Barzalia are not harmed by it, and I'll make it extra hot from the outside, as in fact we find in the Psukim in Daniel, where it says that the various goyim who took Hanani, Mishael, Barzalia and arrested them and threw into the fire, a tongue of flame came out of there. First of all, Nebuchadnezzar ordered the fire should be made seven times as large as before. After Hanani, Mishael, Barzalia defied him, he was furious at them. He orders that they should stoke the fire even more. And then the pasuk says that the goyim who were the goyish police who arrested them and threw them into the fire, they themselves were killed by a tongue of fire shot out and killed them. So Nebuchadnezzar himself, the Medrash says, was also a bit singed by the fire. So now, so Gabriel says, I'm going to do that. I'm going to make the fire extra hot on the outside. And that way I'll do a nest within a nest. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Reid. So Hashem tells Gabriel, go ahead and do that. So now Gabriel got his reward for wanting to save Avraham all those years before. So Marsha points out, so what was Yurkami thinking that he even asks the question? Doesn't he realize Hashem promised Gabriel all those many years before? So Marsha says maybe Yurkami didn't know about it. He knew that, so first of all, that would explain why to begin with, by Avraham, he didn't even bother speaking up, because he knew that it was pretty obvious that Hashem is going to answer, that he himself is going to save Avraham. Now, when it came to Hanani, Mishael, Barzalia, maybe he didn't know that Hashem had promised Gavriel. And Ben Yehoyada says that's a bit of a doichik to say that the Malach doesn't know that. He says, very simple, Yurkami could say to Gavriel, okay, Hashem said you're going to save three of his descendants. Who says it's after these three? There'll be some other occasion where there'll be three tzaddikim in a furnace and you'll save them. So therefore, so Gavriel has to tell him that it's more of a kiddush Hashem that I'll save them. Hallelujah. So then Gabriel started saying these words from Tillim, from Hallel, the truth of Hashem is forever, meaning as much as it was so long ago that Hashem made this promise, but Hashem still keeps his truth and his word and gave me my reward all this time later. Another Yesh Emim or Rav Nosson. Actually, the Gemara tells us in Hodias that after the whole story over there with Rav Meir and Rav Nosson wanting to depose Rav Shimon Gamliel and they themselves getting kicked out of this Medrash for a while, the whole story over there, eventually they gave Rav Meir the name Acherim and they gave Rav Nosson Yesh Emim. So in that case, Yesh Emim and Rav Nosson are the same person anyway. Anyway, so he says, the Emes Hashem La'olam Dogim Shabayam Amru. It was actually the fish in the sea who said that pasuk. Now, Marsha points out the fish themselves don't actually speak. What we have is the famous Perek Shira that describes all the various Nivroyim, how they sing to Hashem. What it may mean is, in other words, the Malachim of each kind of thing. So here would mean the Malach of the fish said these words in honor of Hashem. And that would be Kedir Rav Huna based on the story that Rav Huna said. The Omer Rav Huna, Yisrael Shabbosa Dur Miktane Amona Hoyu. The Jewish people in that generation by Kriyas Yamsuf had very little Amuna in Hashem. And as the Gemara is going to go on to say, v'chidid dorash Rabba Bar Mori, as in turn, Rabba Bar Mori says a drosha. My dichtiv vayamru al yom v'yam suf. The pasuk says in Tehillim, it has a kapitel kuf hey and kuf vav, almost like a short summary of Jewish history up to David HaMelech's times. So it mentions in kuf vav, it focuses on the times when the Jewish people messed up. And it's a vayamru al yom, they rebelled against Hashem, v'yam suf, at the yam suf, v'yashim l'man shmoy, and yet Hashem saved them for the sake of his name, so there wouldn't be a chilul Hashem. So what is that? In what way did they rebel against Hashem by the Yam Suf? Now, this Gemara is also an Erchen. Marsha points out over there, now you could say, well, the fact that before Kriyas Yam Suf, they complain, Hamibli and Kvorim in Mitzrayim, would you bring us out of here to die when we could have just stayed in Mitzrayim? But fine, then the Pasuk wouldn't have repeated the word Yam. When it says, Vayamru al Yom bi Yam Suf, then we're meant to understand that there were two rebellions against Hashem. And in fact, the Mishnah in Erchen there lists, we know the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that there were 10 times that the Jewish people tested Hashem in the Midbar. So the Gemara, the Mishnah there in Erchen mentions that point. And and the Gemara explains what the 10 times were, including two of them were at the Yam Suf. So what happened? Malamacha Himru Yisrael, but Oysa Shah, the Jewish people were rebellious and arguing against Hashem at that time. But Omru, when they said, Kishem Shanu Oilu Mitzad Echad, just as we're coming out of the sea on one side, Kach Mitzrayim Oilu Mitzad Echad, the same way, the Mitzrayim are going to come out on another side and they're going to continue attacking us. Now, how could they think such a thing? So there's a famous Tosfos, and the Rambam mentions this point also in his Pirush HaMishnayos, that their path through the Yam Suf was not straight from one side to another, but rather it was in a semicircle. So they actually came out on the same side of the Yam Suf as they went in. So therefore, they're figuring, well, the Mitzrayim, at least some of them, may have gotten away, and therefore they're going to come after us. Not everybody agrees with that, by the way. Rabbi Yaakov Emden and his Pirush on the Haggadah disagrees with that and says, no, the Pashtus, they went across. The whole reason he says Tosfos brings over there, what's the basis to say that they went in a semicircle is because afterwards you find in the Masois, you find in Pashtus Masse, when it lists all the places where they traveled and camped, so it mentions they crossed the Yam Suf, and then a few stops later it says Vayachnu al Yam Suf. So what are they doing back on the Yam Suf would mean that they never crossed it in the first place. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, you don't have to say that. I mean, the Yam Suf's a big place. There could be plenty of places along the other side of it where they could be camping at some point. Be that as it may, so now they're concerned maybe the Mitzrayim will go around the tip of it and come back after them or whatever. So Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Sausha Yam, Ploitoisim Le'abosha. Sashem says to the Malach of the Sea, spit out the dead bodies in the Mitzrayim onto dry land. Like this, they drowned in the sea, and like this, they would have remained there, and the fish would have eaten them. So now Hashem is telling the Sausha Yam, spit them out onto the ground, and that way the Jews can see that they're actually dead. That's what you have in the pasuk by Yav Yisrael Simtzrayim, Meisal Sfas Hayam. They actually had to see them with their own eyes. The Sar Shoyam says Hashem, is it right that a master should give a slave a matana and then take it back? You gave me the bodies of these Mitzrayim that I and my fish can enjoy them, and now you're taking it back. Hashem says, don't you worry, I'll give you 1.5 times as many of them, as we'll go on to say, when Hashem fulfilled that promise, whereby Pare had 600 chariots with him, and later on, Sisera with his army had 900. So that's 1.5 times as much. Why Dafka 1.5? There are a couple of different things that Mephoshim point out. Ben Yoyada talks about it, something relating to the Hey Gvuras, to the five Ender letters that represent different aspects of Gvura, where the Mitzrayim 600 chariots represent the Shlosmem, which is like the head, and Sisera's 900 represent the other extremity of the body, which is therefore it's 900 compared to 600. A couple of Mephoshim also talk about an idea that the same way as we find by Hidur Mitzvah, you're supposed to add up to 1/3 of the cost of the Mitzvah should go towards the Hidur of it. Meaning, if you have a Mitzvah that to do it in a regular way would cost 100, and to do it with the Hidur would cost 150, then you expected to pay that extra 50. The same way Hashem is going to do the Hidur and pay back the sea with the extra 50.
That's not a third, though. The extra
50 would be 35. 50 is half of the original, meaning 50, what the Gemara calls it Shlish Milavat, meaning it's a third of the entire total. The entire total, 50 is one third of 150. We have the same kind of thing, by the way, for example, when we talk about a choymesh, when you have the idea that a person eats truma b'shoigeg, or a person redeems as ma'aser sheni, or a few other things in halacha, where a person has to pay a choymesh, the choymesh is calculated the same way you have, let's say, with truma. A person ate $10 worth of truma, he's paying the kohen $12.50 worth of fruit. The $2.50 extra is one-fifth of the total that he's paying the kohen. That's called choymesh malavar, a fifth from the outside, meaning when you take the entire total that he's paying, then this is one-fifth of that. Say what again? Yeah, because in other words, Hashem had given the bodies of the Mitzrayim, the fish can eat them, and now Hashem is telling him spit them out, and the fish won't be able to eat them after all. So Hashem says, I'll pay you back 1.5 times as much. Almost the fun of it, but still, the Sar Shor Yam says to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Chum Yesh Eved Sheteveyas Rabbi LeDin. How can an Eved go and take his master to a Din Torah? In other words, what you're saying that you're going to pay me back. And that means I'm going to have to come at some point and, so to speak, take you to a din Torah to get you to pay up. But I'm not going to have the break kite to do that. In fact, you have the idea that you have the expression in the pasuk, which the Gemara brings in certain contexts of halacha, eved loyva leishmalve. So to speak, the lender is to a certain extent an eved to the borrower is an eved to the lender. So certainly the master Hashem is not going to be the eved to the borrower, in this case, the Sar Shor Yam, to the lender, the Sar Shor Yam. So Hashem says, Nachal Kishon Yehe Yir Orev. Nachal Kishon, in the stream, a stream that's in the north of Eretz Yisrael, it runs along in the middle north of Eretz Yisrael and empties into the Mediterranean. That will be the guarantor that will see to it that the debt will be paid off. Marsha points out that actually now, in halacha, when you have a malva, a loiva, and an orev, usually the halacha is you have to go to the loiva first. You have to see if the loiva can pay. Only if he can't, then you go to the orev. So here, how we say Nachal Kishon is going to be the orev, as if it's going to be first, he's going to have the first crack at it. So Marsha says, Nachal Kishon is not just going to be a regular orev, but rather an orev kablon, which is an orev who takes a greater degree of responsibility. It's Macholikas Rashi and Tosfos, how exactly a person becomes an orev kablon, but be that as it may, the point is that then so to speak, the Sar Shor Yam can go to, or rather the Nachal Kishon can go and collect the debt from Hashem directly, and Hashem can pay Nachal Kishon, and the sea will get its due that way. That was by Sisera, that's what we're going to talk about. What about diamonds? Nachal Kishon, it's a stream in the north. It's a stream in the north of Eretz Yisrael. It runs. I'm not familiar. I don't know. Anyway, miyad poltam v'shlichem leyabasha. So right away, the sea spit out the bodies onto the dry land. Uvo Yisrael, v'roosim, and sure enough, then the Jews can see that they're there, and therefore they behind the chiddush by Yav Yisrael some time. And then, as Marashah says, the pasuk continues by Yaminu Vashem of Moshe Avdoi, implying that up till then there were some Jews who didn't fully believe until they actually saw the bodies on dry land. By the way, the Rashbam points out that afterwards those bodies didn't just stay there on the bank forever. They eventually sank into the ground and were buried. So these Mitzrayim were zoicha to be buried in the schosav right before that, when Hashem is already dragging their chariots into the Yam. So if they finally wake up and realize ki Hashem nocham lahem b'Mitzrayim, it's Hashem fighting on behalf of the Jewish people. So for that belated recognition of Hashem, they were zoicha, they were actually buried rather than just staying there and rotting on the bank. But the point is that meanwhile, that's where it says, and we say in Oz Yashim, Natusiyimin Chotivla Eme Orens. But in between, though, they were on the bank and on the seashore, and that way the Jews could see them. So now, my echo to Mechza Shebehem, what do you mean 1.5 times as many? Pare had with him 600 handpicked chariots. The Ilba Sisra, Ksiv Chameis Rechabarzel. Sisra, when he came to attack the Jewish people, we're talking about 200 years after Yitzias Mitzrayim, then he had with him 900 iron chariots. Now, to be sure, by Pare, it doesn't say that there were only 600, and it continues, V'chil Rechab Mitzrayim. But by Sisra also, there were 900 iron chariots, plus the pastures, there were a bunch of other regular wooden ones. Anyway, V'chiosra Sisra, so now when Sisra came to attack the Jewish people in Devorah and Barak's time, they came against them armed with iron spears. So what did Hashem do to them? Hashem brought out the stars from their courses in Shemayim to attack them. As we have in Devorah's song, in Shemayim Nochomu, from the heavens they fought. We're going with the stars from their paths in Shemayim fought against Sisera. What does that mean? How did they fight? The stars came down closer to earth above Sisera and his army. So now those iron, now all that iron equipment was heated up by the heat of the stars. Tosfos, by the way, mentions, you know, earlier in the Masechta, we had the expression that the whole Kola Yishuv, Kola Tachas Koychav Echad Hu Oymed, that the entire settled area of the world is all under one star because the stars are much larger than the earth. So how are we staying now, and how we say now here that the stars were able to come closer to the earth and affect only the area where Sisera and his army were? So Tosfos distinguishes between the stars and the planets in this regard. Anyway, so it heated up things. So they're all hot. So now the battlefield is going to be by the banks of the river Kishon. So all of Sisera's army went into the river to cool themselves off from the heat. So now Hashem tells Nachal Kishon, now it's time for you to pay off your arevos, you were the guarantor for the sea. Now it's time for you to do your job. So sure enough, Nachal Kishon swept all those soldiers away and then swept them off, and they all floated out into the sea. So therefore the sea got its due after all. It got 900 chariots worth of soldiers' bodies for the feast to feast on instead of Pirates 600. Shenema, as the pasuk says in Devorah's Shira, Nachal Kishon grotham, Nachal Kishon swept them away. Nachal Kishon, Nachal Kedumim. She continues the ancient stream. Now, my Nachal Kedumim. What do we mean by the ancient stream? Nachal Shenasa Orev Mikedem. It means the stream that became an Orev in olden times, 200 years before Sisera. But Oisa Shah Apostle Dogam Shoyam Vomru. So now the fish started speaking in Hashem's praise, or as Marashah said, the Malach of the fish, Vomru, Emes Hashem, La'olam Hallelujah, that Hashem's truthfulness endures forever. That again, Hashem made this promise to the Yam hundreds of years earlier, and now Hashem made sure that the promise got fulfilled and that the Orev Nachal Kishon did its job. So that's another place where the Emes Hashem La'olam was said. Okay, now the Gemara continues with a couple of drushes on a couple of other psukim in Hallel. Omer Reb Shimon Lakish, my dichtiv Moshivi Akeres Habayis, at the end of the first capital of Hallel, Moshivi Akeres Habayis, literally it means Hashem makes the barren one of the house, Ema Bonim Smecha, he makes her, he settles her as a happy mother of children. Hallelujah, so you should praise Hashem. But now the Gemara is going to darshan that phrase differently. What's Akeres Habayis in particular? So Omra Knesset Yisrael l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu means the Jewish people say before Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Samuni Bonecha K'chulda Zu Shedara Be'ikrei Batim. Your children have made me like a chulda, which is a weasel or a mouse or some other rodent like that, that lives at the bottoms of houses. So what does that mean? Rashbam explains that it means that the important Zkenim and the important people among the Jewish people are saying regarding the Jews who are less careful about Torah and mitzvahs. So in other words, Eim HaBonim implies, so Akeres were darshanim melotin Iker, like the bases, like the foundations of the house. Eim HaBonim suggests that the mother is talking about what's going on with the children. So she's saying, your children, because of their Averis during Golos, have made me like no better than a weasel that has to skulk around in the basements of the houses rather than being able to be. So that's Akeres HaBais. Eventually that gets cleaned up, and Ema Bonim Smecha, after all, she ends up being able to be happy with her children, that they are doing the right thing, and therefore, hallelujah. Marashah, actually, to begin with, says he says, Taka, Ema Bonim Smecha doesn't really fit with that. So therefore, he says, no, it means Lamal Yusa, that we're saying that the Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, are compared like a chulda, which is sometimes in concealment, sometimes visible. So the same way, like the Jewish people are always there regardless. We're always be'ikrei abatim, we're always at the foundation and at the root of everything. So in that case, then it comes out l'mal yusa that it's a good thing, and therefore we can say ema bonim smecha. Eitz Yosef brings another point as well, that it means that we're saying that up until now we were like a lowly weasel having to skulk around in the basements of the houses, and like you have in the earlier psukim, me'ash b'is yonim evyan, but now Hashem is lifting us out of that, mekimi me'ofer dol, and therefore ema bonim smecha halalui. And then he brings another. So that's according to Rashbam, it's negative. But then Marsha says, so what are you doing with the Eim Abonim Smecha? So therefore, Marsha understands it to begin with to be something positive. And Eitz Yosef explains that it's a progression. It starts out negative, but then from it comes something positive, that Hashem lifts us out of that. And you also have the idea. You have the Gemara that says that if the Jewish people don't do tshuva, then Hashem brings a melech kosher kahaman, and that causes everybody to do tshuva. So the same way over here, because of the Meshivi HaKedas HaBayis, because we're lowly like the weasel and like the mouse, that itself brings about Eim HaBonim Smecha, because it causes that everybody does tshuva.
It starts.
So then according to that, it comes out a positive thing.
By the end,
yeah. Yeah. So Marsha is saying to begin with, it's a positive thing. Wow. Yeah. So he's saying that, in other words, that just like a weasel is sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't, but it's always there the same way. In other words, the Jewish people are always there, whether you see us or whether you don't, we're still always there at the base of things and always at the root of things. Continues the Gemara, Dorash Rav, Amai Dichtiv Ahavti Ki Yishma Hashem. Elsewhere in Hallel, we have, the Pasuk says, I love that Hashem hears my voice. Now, the problem with that is, so Maharsha says, so first of all, what do you mean? The word ahavti doesn't really fit over there. Bikashti, I'm asking, to avti, I desire that Hashem should hear my voice. What's ahavti? So therefore, and different other mafoshim over here talk about other possibilities. One of them being, what do you mean ahavti? If it means I love Hashem. I love Hashem because he listens to my voice. And what if Hashem doesn't listen to our voice? We don't love him. Are we doing amanas the kabbal pras? So therefore, the Gemara needs to understand in a different way. It means Omer Knesset Yisrael lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Emasai Ani Ahuva lefanecha. When am I beloved to you? When do you show ahavti? Not I love you, but rather when do you show your love for me? Bizman Shata Shemeh Kol Tachnunai. When you listen to the sound of my pleas, then everybody sees openly that you love me. And he continues, Daloisi Viliyoshia, I was poor and Hashem lifted me up. So it means not only in past tense, but also in present and future. Omer Knesset Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Af al pi shedala ani min ha-mitzvos, even though I'm poor of mitzvos, l'cha ani, I'm still yours, v'li no'e lo'yoshia, and it's only appropriate that you should be saving me because we're your people. In Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara talks about the idea that this refers to, you have the people, who it also refers not just on a national level, but on an individual level. You have individual people who don't have enough schusim, and they deserve a spell in Gehenna, but Hashem schleps them out of there and has Rachmanis on them. That's also included in Dalosi Veli Yeshia. In fact, Rashi mentions over there that you have the Beinonim, they're exactly half mitzvahs and half averus. We don't mean, of course, a Beinoni of Tanya. We mean what people usually think of as a Beinoni, that they don't have enough schusim that's exactly balanced, but Hashem is mata klapei chesed. Hashem pushes down the scale on the side of chesed, and that's Deloi Sibili Yoshi. Gemara continues more on the topic of psukim from Halo, which is going to lead us into other drushes. Omer of Kahana, Kishacholah Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi. When Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi was sick, Shalach loy Rebbe, Emor lanu shnayim gimel dvonim shamartel lanu mishum avicha. Please tell us two or three things that you previously told us in your father's name. In other words, that you've previously told us these vertlach from your father Rabbi Yosi, but now we. Not Rabbi Yosi Aglili, but Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafta. Regular Rabbi Yosi, Stam Rabbi Yosi in the Tanah is Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafta, and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi was his son. So Rabbi is saying, we know that your father, Rabbi Yosi, taught a lot of important things in Torah. Please tell us, now that you're sick, please tell them to us, because otherwise, if you're gone, then we'll never know them. Rashbam points out, actually, this isn't the only place in Shas where you have this expression. There's a few other places in Shas, also in Shabbos, also in Avodah Zarah, where you have the same thing, that Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi was sick, and Rebbe sent him the same message. So what does that mean? The Rashbam says could be that Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi was sick different times, and each time Rebbe sent him this message, and each time he replied with several different statements from his father, Rabbi Yossi, or that it all happened only once, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi sent back a whole bunch of things, and then the Gemara sticks each one in its appropriate place in Shas.
And they don't write it down
because it was Torah Shabbat, right. Anyway, Shalach Loi, so Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi sent back as follows. First of all, first of all, this is what my father said on a pasuk in Hallel. My dichtiv Hallelujah Hashem kol goyim. What do you mean, praise Hashem all nations? Umasaola maya b'tayu. Why would the nations be praising Hashem? What ki gover aleinu chastoi? We're the ones who should be praising Hashem, not them. So what it means is Ella Hachi Tama. The pasuk means Hallelujah Hashem kol goyim agvuris v'neflois to ka'ovid lahu. Means they should be praising Hashem for all the tremendous, mighty things and wonders that Hashem did for them. Kol Shekein Anan, and how much more so? Rashi seems to have a slightly different gerusa. He says the ones that Hashem did for us, meaning and they saw them. So Kol Shekein Anan to Gover Aleinu Chaster. How much more so we? As the next passage continues, we that Gover Aleinu Chaster, Hashem's Chesed has overpowered us. How much more so that we should be praising Hashem? Yeah. Okay. So that's similar to what the Gemara is saying over here. So again, now you have Rashi's Girsa is that these are the Nisim that they see Hashem does for us, and they see them, and therefore they praise Hashem, and how much more so we should be. But wait, on the other hand, Rashbam explains, and Marshall also explains, it means the Nisim that Hashem did for them. Or not for them, but against them. For example, the ones that Hashem did when Hashem punished the Mitzrayim and other nations like that, where they see what happened, and therefore the other ones who are left, the other nations see that, and they should praise Hashem for that, and how much more so we, for whom those things were done in the first place.
Indeed. Hashem is going to make for us a miracle, and the whole world will see the miracle.
Yes, indeed.
That's going to be this puzzle.
Yeah. There was another vort on it also, by the way. There's a well-known vort. I don't remember who said this, that the story goes that some Goyish king or minister or whatever asked the Rav this question, why Hallelujah Hashem Kol Goyim? And the Rav tells him, listen, you Goyim are always coming up with all kinds of plots against us. We have no idea even what you guys are thinking of. But then the Eibishter somehow makes it that your plan get frustrated. We never even knew there was a problem in the first place. So that's but you, Hallelujah Hashem Kol Goyim, that you realize how many times you were trying and Hashem frustrated your plans without us even knowing about it. Yeah. Okay, so that was one. The Oid Shalach Loi. Then Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi sent a second word. In the future, when Mashiach comes, Mitzrayim is going to bring a present to Mashiach. Kisvuru kisavur she'ena makabel emenu. The Mitzrayim are going to think, or Mashiach himself is going to think, that he shouldn't accept it from them. Now, you have like this. This is in Kapitel. The Gemara is going to be darshining a few psukim from Kapitel Samaches of Tillim. Kapitel Samaches starts talking about Matan Torah. It talks about events of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of Golos, and so forth. And then at the end of it, you have a few psukim that go like this. Mehecholecha al Yerushalayim. From your palace, meaning because of your palace in Yerushalayim, because of the Beis Mikdash which is in Yerushalayim, to you kings will bring presents. Then the Gemara continues. Then the pasuk continues with a pasuk about which the Gemara is going to douse in a minute about the Romans. And then it continues. Noblemen will come from Mitzrayim. Kush toritz yadav lelekim. Kush will run to bring a gift to Hashem with their hands. So why are we singling out Mitzrayim and Kush? So because even though all the other nations are going to be coming and bringing presents, originally Mitzrayim is going to think, how could we? Hashem is surely going to reject it, considering how we treated the Jewish people. And Mashiach is going to think that. But Hashem tells Mashiach, accept the present from them. After all, they were hospitable to my children in Mitzrayim, to begin with, in Yosef and Yaakov's times, and therefore their present is worth accepting. Meaning, in other words, there's some good in them. So then, Nosa Kush Kavachoyim Ba'atzma. So that causes Kush, which is the nation immediately next to Mitzrayim, to start thinking to themselves and make a Kavachoyim. Umaha Lolushin Ishtabdu Behentach, Madach Mitzrayim, who subjugated the Jewish people, and still Hashem is willing to accept their gift. We never enslaved the Jewish people, so how much more so that if we bring a gift to Hashem, that Hashem will accept it. So meaning, in other words, the Rif explains over here that originally Kush figures that, okay, you know, we could bring presents just like all the other nations, but okay, do we know that Hashem actually appreciates it? Now that we see that Hashem says to Mashiach, accept the gift from Mitzrayim, so that makes Kush start thinking, you know what, it's not just we're bringing presents to show our subservience to Hashem and to Mashiach, it's rather that Hashem himself will appreciate it. So therefore, all the more so, we should do that. And yeah, Chashmana means nobleman. In fact, there's an explanation. That's where the name Chashminoi, that's where the Chashminoim, there's one explanation that they got their name from that, because the word Chashmana means nobleman, and they were a noble family.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but the fact that Hashem tells him too, yeah.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
So
that's what?
Mini Mitzrayim.
Mini Mitzrayim means from Mitzrayim. Mini is a poetic word like min. I skipped the line in the Gemara. Miyad, yes, so Chashmanim in Mitzrayim. So sure enough, as the pasuk says, noblemen will come from Mitzrayim with gifts from Mashiach. And then Nosa Kush Kavachomer ba'atzma. So then Kush starts thinking of Kavachomer to themselves. Ma'alolish nishtabdu behen kach, onushle nishtabadu behen alachas kama v'kama. How much more so we should bring a gift and Hashem will appreciate it. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kabel mehem. So Hashem tells Mashiach, yes, accept Kush's gift. Miyad, and therefore, the pasuk continues, Kush toritz yodav lelikim. Kush will run to bring a gift to Hashem with their hands. Now, Nosa Malchus Edom Kavachomer ba'atzma. Now, at that point, Malchus Edom, the Romans, are going to make a Kavachomer to themselves. Omra, and they're going to think, Umahalolo she'en acheyem, madach these nations, Mitzrayim and Kush, which are not their brothers, kach, and yet Hashem appreciates their gift and tells Mashiach to accept them. Onu she'acheyem, were their brothers, because after all, the Romans are descended from Edom, from Esav, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so that we should bring a gift, and Hashem will accept it. Kush is from Chom, Mitzrayim and Kush are from Chom, right? But even more closely is that they're descended from Esav, who is from Esav, who's the brother of Yaakov, Haloi Och Esav the Yaakov. However, Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Gavriel, but Hashem tells Gavriel with the posik that's in Tilim in between these two psukim, Hashem tells him no. The whole posik goes, Ga'ar chayas kone, adas abirim be'eglei amim, misrapis beratze kosef, bizar amim krobis yechbotzu. That's how the whole pasuk goes, and now the Gemara is going to darsh in it phrase by phrase. So Hashem says to Gabriel, Ga'ar chayas kone, rebuke the beast of the wild animal of the reeds. So first the Gemara darshins kone, maloshin kona, maloshin acquiring. Ga'ar chaya, rebuke that wild animal like people, the Romans, and acquire for yourself the Ada, the Jewish people, the congregation of the Jewish people, because they managed to withstand Edom all this time. They're the ones who deserve to be the honored ones, not the Romans at that time. So Ga'ar Chayas, and then Kona would be Meloshin Kona, acquire. The Rashbam actually brings an explanation that maybe the Ada over here refers to Mitzrayim and Kush, that he's saying Mitzrayim and Kush deserve to be honored, but not Edom. But he says, no, Ada always means the Jewish people. Another explanation. So in other words, Marsha says already the Jewish people are the property of Hashem before that. Amzu Karnisa. Now you're going to have, as the pasuk says, Yosef Hashem Shenis Yodei Liknos, that Hashem will, so to speak, reacquire the Jewish people. So therefore, Hashem is telling Gabriel that you're going to rebuke and then drive away Edom, and the Jewish people are going to be my special possession. Dover Acher, another explanation. What? So we're saying, even though Haloi Och Esav the Yaakov, Hashem is saying, no, the Edomim think because they're Yaakov's brother, therefore they deserve to share, but no, they don't. Dover Acher, Ga'ar Chayas Kone, Shadora Ben Akanim. Another explanation of the word Kone over here is, it means a reed, it means the wild animal that lives among the reeds, meaning in the forest. Dichtiv, as you have the pasuk, Yechar Semena Chazir Miyar, the wild boar, the wild pig of the forest, eats it up, the Beis Hamikdash and the Jewish people. The Ziz Sodai Yirena, and the Ziz Sodai, which the Gemara mentions in Baba Basra as a kind of gigantic bird, feasts on it. So we see that Edom is compared to like a wild boar that tramples everything and that lives in the forest. Marsha says, so why konem b'loshen yochid? Why not konim? Because it's being meramez on that famous stick that Gavriel stuck into the Mediterranean and around which the city of, around which the dirt and rocks collected, and eventually the city of Rome was founded there. So they're the wild animal of the kone, where their whole empire begins with one reed. And Gavriel being Hashem's malach of Gvura, so therefore he's the one to execute the judgment against them and then destroy them. Another meaning, Hashem tells Gabriel, rebuke that wild animal-like nation where everything they do is written with one pen. Again, because it says konne in the singular, which means, in other words, that Rashbam says that whenever it comes to harming the Jewish people, all of them are unanimous about it. It's as if they're all writing with one pen a verdict against the Jews. There's nobody to stand up on their behalf. The pasuk continues, Adas Abirin Be'eglei Amim, the congregation of mighty ones among the calves of the nations. So what does that mean? Sheshochtu Abirim, the Romans killed Abirim, mighty Talmidei Chachamim, and mighty people of Ma'is and Tovim, Kagodim Shein Lahem Ba'alim, as if they were calves that have no owner, where they're free for all. Where the pasuk continues, Misrapis Beratze Kosef. The word misrapis means like trampling, so trampling with the desire for money. I mean, it's a poshtim yideim l'kabel mamon. The Romans are so corrupt, they stick out their hand demanding money, demanding bribes and whatever. They know sin, ritzayim b'alam, and they don't even accomplish what you gave them a bribe for. And the word misrapis, in other words, we're dashing as matir pas. They open up the palm of their hand, gimme, 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 and then they don't even do what you wanted them to do. Very much ripped from the headlines currently. And when the pasuk finishes off, Bizar Amim Krovis Yechbatsu, the pasuk finishes off, he scattered the nations who wanted Krovis, meaning ultimately, Mi Gorem Lahem Yisrael Shispazur Ben Omos Olam, what caused that the Jews became scattered among the nations? Krovis Shari Chafetzin Behem, the closeness that the Jewish people wanted to be close to the Goyim, therefore Hashem scattered them all over so they don't become too close to the Goyim. Or Marsha says another meaning of Krovis can also mean fights. How did the Churban Bayis Rishon happen? How did the Churban Bayis Sheni happen? Because there were Jews that were spoiling for a fight by the first Beis Hamikdash. You have Yirmiyahu telling them over and over, be loyal to Nebuchadnezzar, don't rebel against him, and the Beis Hamikdash will continue to stand, and you won't go into Galus. By the second Churban, you have the Biryonim, where the Chachamim are telling them, don't go and try to fight against the Romans. And in both cases, the fact that they were spoiling for a fight led to the Churban and to the Galus. So therefore, that's the Bizar Amim, Krovos Yechbatsu, because the Jewish people wanted war rather than living under the control of these Goyim, or as Rashi says, because they wanted to be too close to the Goyim, and therefore Hashem has to scatter them for their own good so we don't assimilate among the Goyim. Yom Yom Mashiach Ru'ola, what is today? Tes Cheshvin. No, Ches Cheshvin. Ches, yeah. The Rebbe talks about when we make a Cheshvin Tzedek about Ru'ola, we have that has to be, so today's Ches, yeah. So when a person makes a cheshbon tzedek regarding the geula, that has to come out in particular that a person is extra careful and extra mahadir with kiddush levana. First of all, that would mean, as the halacha is, that you do kiddush levana with good nice clothing, Shabbos clothing, out in the street, b'rei v'mahadras melech, even in places where they weren't makbid on until now because people live among the goyim. That means also being careful with the time of kiddush levana and most of all to do kiddush levana with a special kavana. To quickly bring and to accomplish quickly, B.S. Dovin Malcolm Mashicha, as we say at the end of Kiddush Levana, Uvikshuas Hashem Alekeim V'as Dovin Malcolm. They will not only seek the closeness of Hashem, but also seek that Dovin HaMelech and Mashiach should come. Miyad Mamash. Continuing on halachas of when you're allowed to have a goy do malacha for you when you're on Shabbos and when not. So another criteria we said so far, a few different criteria. Another one is that it can't be something attached to the ground. For example, you can't have a goy do construction work or field work for you on Shabbos. So even if everything else, even if you prearranged with him the payment and everything else, if it's a doichet gadol, then you ask her rov. As far as, for example, if he's preparing building materials, then it depends. If it's known that it's for a Jew and the goy is doing it in a public place, you also can't do it on Shabbos. If, for example, now let's say with a field, if the goy takes a certain percentage of the crop, and that's the local minhag that a sharecropper does it, then such a thing would be mutter. And also, if the field is far away from the city, then it would be allowed as long as you're not hiring him by the day, because then it's not obvious that it's a Jewish field.